Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but if you're hearing my voice on today, you are blessed because you are yet in the land of the living. Amen. This is the Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold. And this is the station where you can be transformed. Amen. Welcome. Amen. We thank God for being here in Jesus' name, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. First, giving honor to God who is the head of my life. Amen. Giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle. Amen. And giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network. Amen. Of Spirit Alive Network. Bishop Sherlene Cook, amen. God bless you, and thank you for allowing us to come one more time on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday. I don't know where you're listening to me from, amen, but wherever you're listening to me from, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God bless you all, and I welcome you all in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we have a very, very powerful topic on today, and it's very, very vital and to our spiritual lives. Amen. And you might say, well, what is the Lord done put on Minister Adam's heart today? What are we gonna get? Well, the Lord has commissioned me, and I say commissioned because He has commanded me to do so, to talk about spiritual warfare on today. Spiritual warfare is very, very vital to us and others. Amen. They're very, very vital to us and others that we stay constantly in spiritual warfare. Amen. Spiritual warfare is very, very serious. Spiritual warfare is not a game. Some people think that messing, playing with spirits is a game. It's not a game. It's not a game. It's really, really not. As much as I joke around and as much as I make people laugh, this is not a game, because this is what we're dealing with on today. So I'm not laughing. I'm not playing today. I'm not doing none of that today. Amen. I'm being very, very serious about this, because we have a lot that in the world today that we are seeing that are dealing with spirits. And I'm not talking about angels. I'm not talking about godly spirits. I'm talking about demonic forces that are troubling the land today. Amen. And we must be in spiritual warfare, amen, because it is very, very vital. So I'm going to take you to a scripture to get this off, to get this show kicked off here. And I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. And before I read that, I'm going to give you a little insight on why the Lord gave me this topic on today. Last Sunday, my brother was the speaker on last Sunday, and he began to talk about using and building your spiritual muscles. Going back to the old landmark, this is just some of the things that the Lord gave him to talk about in his message. And the title of his message was Push Through It. We got to push through it. We got to exercise our spiritual muscles. Why do we have to exercise our spiritual muscles? Why do we have to continue to study the Word of God? Why do we got to continue to be in the Word of God? Why do we got to continue to pray? Why do we got to continue to fast? Why do we got to continue to do what God has called for us to do? For stuff like this, for stuff like spiritual warfare. Because every day, even in the times that we are sleeping, the devil is raging. The devil is raging. He has plots and plans to try to take us out. The Bible, I quote this verse all of the time, John 10:10, for the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief that the Lord was talking about in that verse was the devil himself. Now, the devil uses the same avenues to get to us, the same avenues that he tried to use. I ain't even going to say use, because he tried to use it. It didn't succeed. That's why I said tried to use. He tried to use these avenues. He went through these different avenues, three different avenues, to try to get Jesus to try to knock Jesus off course in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. He used these three areas: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. And these are the three avenues that spiritual warfare happens. When the devil tries to tempt someone or try to have someone give in to sin. Amen. But these are the avenues: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, it reads, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For thus, we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh." Verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing unto captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You might ask, why, Minister Adam, why would you read that scripture? Well, because when we are in spiritual warfare, and I'm gonna break this down the best way I can, the way the Lord sees me to break this down. We're gonna look at what is spiritual warfare, first of all. Why do the saints go into spiritual warfare? And what tools do we have? What weapons do we use and what tools do we have to fight in spiritual warfare? Amen. When you talk about spiritual warfare, there are a lot of people in today's society that have things going on in their life that are dealing with a lot of things. I'm going to name a few things that people deal with. Things like depression, things like addictions, sexual perversion, things like that. And these are just to name a few. These things that I've mentioned and others, et cetera, these are not just names given the problems. These are not just problems. Depression is not just depression. Depression is not just a problem, but it is a spirit. Addictions, such as drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual addiction, these things that we know in today's world are what society says are problems or addictions are not just addictions in the natural. They are spirits. And these are just to name a few. And these spirits come upon us because of different problems that we go through, such as a person that deals with drug addiction. They might use drugs because of the fact, or use alcohol because of the fact they're going through a problem and they want that problem to go away. So they use every avenue that they can to get away from the problem just for a little bit. But when you start using, when you start dibbling and dabbling in different types of, and I'm going to say spirits, but different type of things like that or different type of spirits like that, then you are bringing on an attack on yourself. And it's very hard to get rid of it, especially if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Especially if you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's very hard to get rid of. That's when spiritual warfare comes into play. Now, let me clarify. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, you cannot go into spiritual warfare. Amen. The only people, there's two things that you need, that there's two things that a person cannot do. Well, there's several things that a person cannot do, but without the Holy Ghost. But there are two main things in the Bible that is biblically in the Bible, biblically, that you cannot do without the Holy Ghost. That's worship and go into spiritual warfare against a demon. You can't. You won't be able to do it without the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says when you talk about worship, and this is worship is not about worship is not in the in the topic today, but I'm gonna quote the verse: "He who worships Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Amen. The same thing is with spiritual warfare. You have to have the Holy Ghost. How can we fight the good fight of faith without the power? Amen. Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to do. That verse says that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all of Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Why is that verse saying we shall be witnesses? We shall be witnesses unto the goodness of God with the Holy Ghost. We shall be able to show off the Holy Ghost and its power when we go into what? Spiritual warfare.
Amen. Being a witness is not just what comes out of your mouth. Being a witness is what you do with your life. I don't know why I went there. That was not in my notes. I don't know where that, I don't know, I know where it came from. But we have to be in constant spiritual warfare today. Amen. And so in the society that we are living in, some of the things that we deal with that a person that is not saved will not see in the spirit. We're dealing with homosexuality. We're dealing with spirits that just want to take people out. People that want to kill spirits that just want to kill people. We see it all the time. We hear about it all on the news. People walking up inside. Just here in Indianapolis, in Greenwood, in the Greenwood Park Mall, three people were killed because a man walked in a mall with a gun and just felt like killing people. Because why? And you might say, well, why does that happen, Minister Adam? Because of the spirit. Because of spirits like that. This is why we need to be in spiritual warfare for the world. This is why the church needs to be in spiritual warfare. Amen? Spiritual warfare is very, very important to our lives and the lives of mankind. The reason why some of this stuff is on people, the reason why some of these spirits are on people is because the church has not lined itself up to God's plan in spiritual warfare. We have denounced the plan of God. We have denounced the move in the plan of God because we feel like it don't take all that. Yeah, it takes all of that. It takes going down on your knees and staying there. It takes, when a person wants to be saved, for allowing them to sit at the altar, allowing them to kneel at the altar and stay there for a while until they're doomed with power from on high. Don't let them just speak a little bit of gibberish and let them get on up and say they got the Holy Ghost. No, let them lay prostrated before the Lord. Sometimes in spiritual warfare, we need to lay prostrated before the King of Kings. We need to go before the throne of God for more than a minute. We need to take time out of our busy schedules just to pray for other folks, just to see what, not just pray for the things that we need. A lot of prayers that are being prayed, the Lord showed me this, a lot of prayers that are being prayed and a lot of sermons that are being preached is not about salvation. It's about what you can get from God. It's about what, and it ain't spiritual. It's about the new car that you want. It's about the new house that you want. The devil is a liar. Why are we praying so, we're praying for so much for cars and clothes, but we ain't praying deep enough to go into intercession for people. We pray for 5 and 10 minutes asking for cars and clothes, but yet we can't stay on the at the face of God we can't sit for 10 and 15 minutes just to pray for somebody else. So we get in so deep of a prayer that the Spirit starts making intercession. We need this. So what is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is a Christian term of fighting against the works of evil forces. This is what spiritual warfare, this is the natural definition of spiritual warfare. What is the spiritual definition? The Lord gave me the spiritual definition. Basically, spiritual warfare is spiritually laboring for yourself or somebody else. Laboring. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38. We're talking about laboring right now in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is laboring. It's a matter of labor. And you might say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that, Minister Adam. I can't sit because I got so much stuff I got to do. You labor on your job. You labor on that job. See, the saints of God got to learn. We put so much stuff ahead of the work of God. And we wondering why the world is messed up. We wondering why the world is so messed up. Let me help y'all today. Let me just please. We wondering why the world is so chaotic. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, it's messed up because we're living in the last days and the Lord is soon to come. I understand that. I understand that and I hear you. I hear you. But some of this stuff is not because of the Lord coming. It's because the church is not doing what it needs to do. And the Lord has held back his coming. One of the reasons why God has held back his coming is out of his love and his grace and his mercy. But the other reason is because the church, if the Lord was to come back now, right now, at this point in this second as I'm speaking, most of us would be lost. I'm going to tell you that now. There will be a lot of saints lost because God has told us to do something and we have not done it. We put other things over what God has told us to do. God has told us to labor in the vineyard, and we ain't labored. Oh, well, I'm too tired. This is spiritual warfare. What? You look, before, and I'm talking to the church today, before you got saved, somebody labored for you. So why wouldn't you want to labor for somebody else? Somebody labored for me. I didn't get saved based off of my benefit. Wait, Minister Adam, you said that you were saved at the age of 9 years old. Yeah, I was a kid. I didn't come unto this great salvation all by myself. Somebody labored for me. I didn't come into this world knowing about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost until my father took me to church. That's labor. My father could have said, well, forget it. We're not going to church. We're not doing none of this. But he labored. He took me to church. He allowed. And then when we get to church, we don't allow the pastor to teach. We want to get mad at the bishop, at the pastor that's teaching the true word of God. Because the pastor's picking with me. This is spiritual warfare, y'all. We have no business just sitting around on our do-nothings, waiting for the next person to do everything, waiting for the pastor to do everything, waiting for the bishop to do everything. The devil is a liar. This is why I want you to read Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38. This is God speaking. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, it reads, Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This is what we are talking about. We need to labor. We need to go into spiritual warfare for other people. And I'm not just talking about praying. I'm talking about seeking the face of God, telling people about the work, telling people about Jesus. And I'm talking about the truth, not telling them a watered down message, not telling them watered down stuff. Do you know 2% milk ain't 2% milk ain't gonna give you nothing in the natural, but whole milk will build your muscles. It's time to stop giving people and the saints of God watered down stuff. This is spiritual warfare. We got saints or ain'ts giving watered down messages, giving prosperity messages all the time. This is spiritual. This is still in spiritual warfare, because I'm speaking from the Holy Ghost. This is not. Now I love everybody. I love everybody. Anybody that don't agree with me, you could turn me off. I don't care who you are. Well, you could be family, friend, enemy, co-worker, whoever. I don't care. You can turn me off if you don't agree with me. That's fine. But this is the word of God. I have literally seen, and I'm going after everybody today. Everybody. I'm going after everybody that don't preach truth or everybody that's denounced truth. Because the weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The reason why God has commissioned me to go after preachers that are preaching false doctrine, because you're sending the wrong message. You trying to build people's flesh up, and you need to be building people's spiritual man up. Why do you think we got a weak church? We have a weak church. We got punks in the pulpit. You worried about the money, you worried about the fame and the fortune, and you worried about the popularity, and you more worried about that than you are the people's soul. And guess what? The Bible says, woe unto them that scatters my sheep. And that don't mean that they go into different churches either. They could be scattered in the spirit and still be in your church. The devil is a liar. And the Bible says, woe unto you. That means a judgment is upon you. When you deflect from the word of God, when you take away, when you add to, when you say this don't mean this, when it really does, or you say, no, it don't take all that anymore, or you give watered down messages, the devil is alive. You better allow these things to eat the whole world. The Bible says it. The Lord himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. These saints that have been saved for 10, 12, 20 years, they need the strong meat of the word. The babies need the sincere milk of the word of God. I'm not talking about the babies in Christ. I'm not talking about the babies, because the babies can't eat strong meat. You give a baby strong meat. I'm officially a teacher at a daycare center. And we teach, but I can't teach an infant how to eat meat and mashed potatoes, and a newborn baby can't eat that. So I'm not talking to the babies. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about these saints, and I'm talking about these punks in the pulpit. Yes, I did call them punks. I sure did. If you are preaching down watered down messages just to build your popularity, you're a punk in the pulpit, and you need to sit down. I sure did. And you might say, well, that's not right. You rebuke not an elder. Look, you ain't no elder if you're sitting over there. You are not an elder. You are not a bishop. You are not a deacon. You are not a minister. If you're sitting over there preaching watered-down messages, and you preaching prosperity messages every single Sunday, that's all you preaching is popularity. that you could receive this car, this house, and you ain't teaching these people. You not teaching these people that fasting. Cause thank you, Jesus. We have a vineyard, and I'm doing this for soul. I'm doing this for souls. I'm doing this for souls that don't get the word of God as they should. That's why. This is why I come from a line, an inheritance, spiritual heritage that preached hard the word of God. I'm so out there with it because we got people. There's an old song back in the day. When I was a child, my grandmother and my people in my family, my aunt, one of my aunts, she used to watch me and me and my cousins used to have game time at my aunt's house, where we used to play the game and listen to music and stuff. And there was this song called "I'm Coming Out." I want the world to know. Well, guess what? I want the word of God to come out. I want the word of God. That's why I'm so coming out with it, because we are living in the last days, and we have a devil that is trying to destroy people. Not only destroy them, but kill them. He's trying to take them out. And I love people so much that I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to even see my worst enemy going to hell because of a person telling them, oh, it don't take all that anymore, or this or that, or they want to look. After we teach it, it's up to the person to receive it. Once a preacher has told you the truth, they have done their due diligence. Amen. And you might say, well, I thought we were sticking to the topic of spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare, because you got people that are preaching false doctrine, and you got people that are preaching truth. They're warring against one another. The spirits are. And you got the people in the middle that don't know or does know, and they trying to make a choice between their flesh or the spirit. It's like a tug of war. And the devil is shrewd. The devil is so shrewd. And I'm here to tell you, anybody that's listening today, I'm here to tell you, the devil don't like you. Whether you be saint or sinner, he don't like you. He hates everything about you. Because you were created by God. You were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord created you for his purpose. And because you were created for his purpose, that's the reason why the devil chooses to bother you and take you out. Now, I don't care who you are. As long as you got life in your body, the enemy's going to try to come at you. I don't care if you saved or sinner. You've been baptized in Jesus' name, the devil's going to come after you. You a sinner, the devil's still going to come after you. He probably might not mess with you. He's probably going to mess with you less, because he ain't going to mess with something he already got. But he's going to allow you to go further and deeper into the sin that you're in. And he'll present you with more and more and more and more, to the point that it'll be so much of a struggle on you that you won't be able to carry what the devil puts on you. That's why the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. I heard a pastor last night. I was listening, and the pastor was off on what he said. I was listening on Facebook, and I quickly said the blood of Jesus, and I turned him off. He began to say, well, God didn't die for sin. Wait, what? That was off. It's stuff like that I'm talking about. You want to preach watered-down messages. You want to water down certain things. You want to say, the Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. You want to throw in there little things. The devil throws in little things. He don't always throw it on you, all up on you at one time. He throws it in little by little, little nuggets. Just like God gives us little tidbits of the word for us to understand, well, the devil does the same exact thing. But he throws nuggets that are off and wrong. And it messes you up. That's why we need to be in spiritual warfare. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to fast. That's why we need to come on here. That's why we need to build up our most holy faith in God. Amen. So, why do we as saints go into spiritual warfare? We war in the spirit for ourselves and others. But like I said, a person that does not have the Holy Ghost cannot war against the spirit, the demonic spirits that come up on a person. Amen. We cannot war against spirit. Have you ever noticed, and this is my example for that. Have you ever noticed that when a person goes through something, they try to look for every avenue but the right avenue to try to ease that pain in their life? And it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical pain, but it could be an emotional pain, a spiritual pain, whatever it might be. They look to drugs. They look to alcohol. You cannot, look, let me tell you something. You cannot use, and I've said this before, you cannot use a natural thing for a spiritual problem. Everything, you might say, well, everything doesn't have to revolve around the spirit. Everything, yes, it does. When it comes to mankind, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Now the cars and the clothes and the bills that you got, no, that's not what I'm talking about. That revolves in the natural. Yes, that does. But I'm talking about your soul. When it comes to your contentment, when it comes to your peace, when it comes to you having joy in your life, that's spiritual. That's spiritual. And the only way for us to obtain peace, only way for us to obtain love the correct way is to go into the spiritual realm. And some of us have to go into spiritual warfare to obtain some of the things that we need. For example, you might have some people that have bad attitudes. And you might ask the Lord, Lord, give me a better attitude. And this is an example. Give me a better attitude. Don't let me fly off the handle as much. Don't let me start arguing with people. That's a spiritual thing. That's a spiritual thing. To keeping your attitude together, you don't believe me? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the nourishments in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Amen? It's just like you eating a fruit. An orange, for instance. An orange has what? Vitamin C, right? That's a nourishment in that fruit. Well, in the fruit of the Spirit, all of these things that are mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit, those are the different nourishment in the spiritual for your spiritual life. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are different. Those are the different nourishment, spiritual nourishments that we need. We need those to go into spiritual warfare. Do you not know that a person, I pray to God that every saint knows that. We need that to be able to go into spiritual warfare for somebody else. Now watch this. Like I said, we go into spiritual war. We war in the spirit for ourselves and others. Let's go to, there's three scriptures that I want to go to real quick to show you that we go to war for ourselves and we go to war for others. All right. And I'm going to show you what it looks like if you try to go to spiritual warfare or you try to go to war with the devil without the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you what it looks like. I'm going to show you in scripture. Amen. But first, I'm going to take you to two scriptures real quick. Let's go to Psalms 51, verses 10 through 13. Amen. I'm going to take you to this one first. Psalms 51, forgive me. Psalms 51, verses 10 through 13. This is showing what we need to do to make ourselves right for spiritual warfare. Amen. You might say, well, Psalms has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. I'm about to show you. Yes, it does. Psalms 51. All right. Psalms 51, verse number 10 through 13. And it reads, and this is David speaking. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a what? Right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The Bible, I'm going to stop right there. Verse number 12 says, at the end of verse number 12, it says, uphold me with thy free spirit. Why is the Spirit of God free? Because the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. You're free in spirit. This is the same thing. When you receive salvation, you're free. You're free to have the fruit of the Spirit. You're free to have those nourishments of the fruit of the Spirit. You're free to go into spiritual warfare because you have the power to be able to. You're free to go into spiritual warfare. But look, when we read verse number 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You have to be clean before you go into spiritual warfare. You have to have the Holy Ghost before you go into spiritual warfare for yourself or for somebody else. And what do you mean? You might say, well, I thought you said that a person that goes into spiritual warfare has to have the Holy Ghost. They don't need to go into spiritual warfare. They already got the Holy Ghost. No, they don't mean that. What I'm saying is that just because a person has the Holy Ghost does not mean that they cannot go into spiritual warfare. They need to go into spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare should be a part of a person's life if they're in Christ. We should do more spiritual warfare to keep ourselves right, because we battle. We battle with stuff all the time. All the time. We battle with stuff all the time. We battling. There's three things that we battle with in this walk with Christ. Amen. There's three things. We battle against our flesh. We battle against demonic forces. And we battle against the devil himself. These three things, we have to keep under subjection to the Holy Ghost. If we keep our flesh under control, and we keep our flesh under subjection to the Holy Ghost, we can then fight against devils. We can then fight against the devil himself. Why? Because the flesh has no, we cannot fight the enemy in the flesh. We can't do it. We can't go into spiritual warfare being in a fleshly mindset, in a corrupt mindset. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says, it lets us know to have a renewed mind. Amen? Verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And then verse number 2 talks about transforming your mind. Now watch this. How do we get ourselves when we have that clean heart? How do we keep that clean heart and how do we keep that right spirit? Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. You might say, Minister Adam, where are you going with this? Where are you going? I'm going where the Holy Ghost tells me to go to. That's where I'm going. This is seriously not a game. I remember my cousin created a slogan. And he put it on a T-shirt, and he said, the slogan says, it's not a game out here. And it's really not. It's not a game. When it comes to this, it's not a game out here. Because we in a war every single day. Every single day you're in a war. Here to tell you, every day that you wake up, you're in a war. You're at war. Every day that you sleep, you're at war. Because sometimes we got to learn how to pray even in our sleep sometimes. Because thoughts be going, that's why it's not always good to watch everything on TV. That's why it's not good to listen to even in the gospel realm. Come on here. I'm going there too. It's not good. If it's not good to listen to every wind and doctrine, every preacher, it's not even good to listen to every gospel song, because every gospel song ain't gospel. It ain't the gospel. Just because it got a beat to it and that person saying Jesus, don't make it gospel. This is spiritual warfare. We getting deep into this. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6. This is how we keep our hearts and our minds clear. This is how we do that. And I got it in my notes here, and I'm moving as the Holy Ghost is telling me to move. But I was supposed to read this verse at the beginning, but the Holy Ghost is having me read it now. Amen. So I'm moving as the Holy Ghost tells me to move. Amen. This is what we need to do, and I'm gonna read you Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 12-17, and it reads. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'm going to break this down. I'm going to finish reading it, and I'm going to break it down the way the Holy Ghost has me to. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I'm going to break this down the way the Holy Ghost sees me to do so. He wants me to stop right here and break this down. In verse number 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right? When this verse is letting us know that we do not wrestle against one another. My battle is not with Bishop Cook. My battle is not with the center man. Come on here. And the reason why I said Bishop Cook, because my pastor, there are spiritual leaders. Come on here. The people that are in the congregation, that's not my fight. My fight is not with flesh and blood. My fight is not with my sister in Christ. My fight is not with my brother in Christ. Amen. If I see them stumbling, it's not my fault. It's not my fight to stomp on their neck, but it is my fight to lift them up, to pick them back up again and say, brother, come on, sister, come on, you can make it, get on up, dust yourself off, repent and go on, let's move on, let's go, let's see what the end's going to be. But we got it in the church now that when we see someone falling, we choose to want to step on their neck and keep them even down even worse. That's not my fight. That's not my, I'm finna go there. That's not my wrestling match, y'all. Amen. My war is not against my sister and my brother. My war is not even with my enemy. But my war, my fight is with, hallelujah, against principality, against powers. What powers? Enemy, the demonic forces that are on the earth right now that are trying to consume every person that those spirits can. That is my fight. Amen. And in the fight, in the spiritual warfare, we have to be equipped. This is it. This verse right here in verse number 13, it is telling us to what to be equipped with. It is telling us to be equipped in the body of Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. We have to build up our spiritual muscle. Look, you have never seen a soldier. I have never seen on TV. I've never heard on the radio. I've never seen in a book where a soldier went in half dressed. Ever. I've never seen a soldier go into battle without their weapons. I've never seen a police officer. Come on now. I'm about to break it down. I've never seen a police officer go into the streets without their weapons. They are sitting duck. They are sitting duck if they go without their gun. They go without their handcuffs. They go without their batons or whatever they might be. Amen. You can't do it. You can't fight back. without your weapon, without your armor on. Police have armor. Amen. EMTs have their gear that they take to save somebody's life. Amen. They have their uniforms. Amen. They have certain things that they put on. They have certain things that they cannot wear. There's certain things that we cannot do. There's in the body of Christ, there are certain things that we cannot. There's certain places we can't go. There's certain things we cannot do. There's certain ways we cannot look. We can't look like the world. We can't talk like the world. We can't act like the world. We can't even think like the world. Why? Because the Bible says so. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in what? Christ Jesus. We got to have the mind of Christ. We got to use, hallelujah. We got to see people through the eyes of Christ. Amen. And it through the eyes of Christ, we got to do it the way God tells us to do it. Amen. We can't do this thing the way we want to do it. Because if we do it the way we want to do it, if we do this thing the way our flesh tells us to do it, we're going to be messed up. We already messed up as it is. Why are you going to get more messed up by doing it your way? Uh-oh. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. What is the evil day? The day that we are living in now. We're living in evil days. Anytime in the past couple of months, just in these past couple of months, I done heard of several shootings in places. That's evil. That's the evil day that we are living in. This ain't just happening years at a time. This happened months, weeks at a time. Days at a time sometimes in local cities. Minutes of each other sometimes. We living in an evil day. And having to done all to stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth. Having yourself girded about. Having yourself pressed in truth. Having your spirit placed in truth. Having everything about you in truth. Amen. That's what that means. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Do you not know what the breastplate does? Police officers wear bulletproof vests. Amen. Soldiers, they wear the old Roman soldier. They wear those breastplates, metal those big chest plate to protect them from anything that might hurt them, that protect their heart. And those fiery darts, those spiritual fiery darts, that those things that enter into your heart, that's why the Bible says take out the stony heart. That's why God wants to take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Because if you get hit with so much in the spirit, your heart will become hard. Amen. But if you have on the breastplate of righteousness, nothing that the enemy brings to you will hit your heart. That's what that means. Amen. Having your feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet, wherever God leads you to go, that's where your feet may tread. That your pathway might be blessed. Amen. Having your feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That you might go in peace. That you might go to the right places. That you might be able to be able to go into places, not those evil places. Amen. We go to, some of us go to places that God told us not to go to. Uh-oh, wait a minute, church hopping. Come on now. We don't like this church, so we're going to go over here. We don't like that church, so we're going to go over here. Stop church hopping. Your feet ain't shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you got some peace, when you have some peace in your life, then you'll be able to stay someplace. You'll be able to get some get into some good ground. Amen. And that leads us to taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? Your faith blocking every bit of artillery that comes from the enemy. Your faith saying, I believe God despite of what I'm going through, despite what is coming my way, I believe God. Still believe in the name of Jesus. This is spiritual warfare, because spiritual warfare, the devil can have, the Bible says he would fool the very elect if he could. Amen. He goes and tries to deceive many, as many as he can. Whether you be saved or unsaved, he tries to go and deceive people. And guess what? The enemy is cocky. I'm gonna show you how the enemy is cocky. Because what he does is he not only tells you lies, but he tries to throw the word of God in there. Even though he know he don't like the word of God. He hates the word of God, but he still uses it. You don't believe me? Read in the book of Genesis where he used the word on Eve. He tried to make the word of God out of a lie. Oh, no, you won't surely die. When God told Eve, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Oh, you won't surely die. God knows you. God, this whole thing of God, God knows that you won't surely die. Okay, you just called God a liar. That's what you just did. God told Eve, if you eat of this tree that I told you not to eat of, you will surely die. Now, God didn't give a time frame on that death, but he wasn't just talking about naturally. He was talking about spiritually, too. And he was talking about naturally, but he was mainly talking about spiritually, because their eyes were shielded before sin came into the world. We're still dealing with spiritual warfare, but the enemy knew it. And look, the devil doesn't, look, watch this. The devil doesn't come always himself. He sends. He sends things and people. He sends things. He sends people. He sends problems. He don't come himself. He's a coward. How do I know? He sent a serpent, a snake, to deceive Eve. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Amen. And let me see. Stand in the evil day. And stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, verse 17 says, and taking the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? The helmet of salvation is to protect your mind. The Bible says, such as a man thinketh, so is what? So is he. Whatever the enemy's battlefield for us is the mind first. In spiritual warfare, when the enemy attacks a person, that is spiritual warfare A1. When the enemy attacks you, that's spiritual warfare. He will come after your mind first. Why? Because if he get the head, he got the body. If he get the head, he got the body. If he gets your mind, he got your whole body. He'll put little thoughts in your mind. Oh, they don't love you. The devil is a lie. They love. I love myself. You know you don't need to go to church today. You're tired. You done been to work all week long. You need to rest. No, the Lord did not make me tired. It's that job that made me tired, but the Lord gave me the strength to get up and go to work. The Lord going to give me the same strength to get up. The Lord gives you the same strength. The same strength he gave you to get up and go to work is the same strength that he'll give you to get up and go to church. Oh, you don't need to go to church to have a relationship with God. The devil is a lie. Who said that? The word didn't say that. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on here. Oh, he'll put little things in your mind. He'll use people. Watch this. He'll use people like this. Oh, it don't take all of that. You don't need to do that anymore. You don't need to do that anymore. That's old. That's that old stuff. That's that old preaching. It don't take all of that. You can live. You're covered by grace. You're only covered by grace if you're living holy. Uh-oh. The devil don't tell you that part. You're only covered by grace. See, you're covered by grace. Okay, tell me the rest of it. Come on. Come on with it. Tell me the rest of it. How am I covered by grace? Why am I covered by grace? Because I'm living holy. He said no good thing would he withhold from them that walk upright before him. Come on here. Come on. No good thing was he withhold from them that walk upright before him. So if I'm walking upright before him, he will not withhold grace from me. Come on. Come on. Spiritual warfare, y'all. Still there. We got to understand what God is talking about in his word, in spiritual warfare, because the devil is shrewd. You're covered by grace. You're covered by grace. You can live any kind of way. No, you cannot. The Bible says, be ye separate from the world. Be ye separated. You can live this type of way and still be covered by grace. You can go back and do the same. The Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abide? God for what? God forbid. Come on, spiritual warfare, y'all. And this is why we need the helmet of salvation. Because when the enemy tries, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why does that say that? That's the same thing with the helmet of salvation. When we have on the helmet of salvation in the spiritual warfare, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against what the enemy is trying to do to you, trying to bring things to your mind. Like I said before, like I quoted the scripture, such as a man thinketh, so is he. Well, watch this. We have to understand that we have to be in the mind of Christ. Amen. We have to take on the mind of Christ. He said, He'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed up on him. If you got your mind on Christ, you'll have on the helmet of salvation. When you have your mind on Christ, you have on the helmet of salvation. So when those fiery darts come to your mind, or when those, when people tell you don't take all that, you'll be able to say, no, the devil is a lie. The Bible don't say that. Your faith will start kicking in. That shield of faith will start kicking in. You'll believe, you believe the word of God, and then say, the word of God don't say that. My sword does not say that. My sword did not say that. Well, you might be saying, well, why are you saying the sword didn't say that? Because the Bible says right here in verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter number 6, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The reason why we have to read the word of God is to be able to use the sword that God has given us in the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the only way that the devil is going to back up off of us, if we use the word of God. It's good to sing songs, spiritual songs are a ministry. But you can sing, and it's good to sing. Some of these new songs that they are singing in the gospel realm, I listen to them, but I don't. If they don't have any substance, and you might say, well, you listen to them, but you don't. What do you mean? I listen to what they're saying just to see if it has any power to it. Because some of this stuff, you just moving and grooving to a song ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. Amen. It ain't going to cut it. But this is what we need to do. We have to understand that we need the word of God. We have to have on the whole armor of God. Now watch this. In these last few minutes that I got left, I'm going to show y'all something. I'm going to show y'all two things in these last few minutes that I got left. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to allow you to read this in your own leisure. In Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, this shows us in that in those verses what a person will get if they try to go to spiritual warfare without the Holy Ghost. They'll be messed up and be wounded. You don't believe me? Read Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, and you'll be able to read it for yourself. Because we're running out of time, I'm not able to read everything. But you go ahead and read it for yourself. And go back and read these scriptures that I've said. And also Romans chapter 8, verses 36 through 39. This is another thing that we must do to keep ourselves together so that we can go into spiritual warfare. Amen. We go into spiritual warfare for others, and we go into spiritual warfare for ourselves. Amen. What are the tools? What are the weapons that we use in spiritual warfare? Now, let me show y'all this. How do we fight in spiritual warfare? We fight underneath God's plan. God always has a plan when we go into spiritual warfare. Always. When we go into battle, God always has a plan. You don't believe me? Read Judges chapter number 7, verses 3 through 7, where it talks about Gideon. Gideon, God gave Gideon a plan before he told him, and I'm paraphrasing, y'all. He told Gideon, if you follow this plan, I'm going to give you the Midianite army. You're going to overtake the Midianite army. But if Gideon did not follow the plan that God had for him, even though it in natural mindset and natural eyesight, what Gideon took was 300 men to this fight. And the Midianite army was huge. And 300 versus a huge army, the odds ain't looking too good for Gideon in the natural. In the natural, it didn't look good for Gideon, but God had a plan. And he followed, Gideon followed that plan to a T. And if he had not have followed that plan to a T, Gideon wouldn't have, Gideon and his army wouldn't have been able to take the Midianite army. This is what we need to do. So go back and read Judges chapter number 7, verses 3 through 7. And you'll find out the plan that God gave Gideon in their battle with the Midianite army. The same thing, the same direction that God took Gideon through will be the same thing that he takes us through. He'll have a plan for us. He never sends anybody that battles for the Lord, anybody that battles for him, he does not send them without a plan. You don't believe me? Okay, well, not only Gideon, but he told Moses. Before Moses went to Pharaoh, he told Moses, tell Pharaoh the I am that I am sent me. He gave Moses a plan. He gave Moses the charge to go. He gave Gideon the charge to go. Amen? And he gives you the charge to go in the spiritual warfare, but he has a plan for you. He told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am that I am sent me. Because Moses being by himself, without God, he was nothing. Moses was disabled. Moses had a disability. He was. Moses had a speech impediment. Yep. He wouldn't have been able to fight off Pharaoh. They would have probably laughed at him and everything. But with God, that speech impediment didn't overtake Moses. Because he had God. He had God around him. He had God with him. Amen. And he was able, with the power of God, he was able to bring the children of Israel out of bondage with the help of the Lord. And you'll be able to take over Satan's kingdom in spiritual warfare with the help of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me do this real quick. How do we fight in spiritual warfare? We fight with spiritual weapons in spiritual warfare, okay? And I'm going to give you these verses to the weapons that we have, and we've already went through one of them. The Word of God. We have that weapon, which is in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 17, which we already read. The second one is prayer. Prayer is a very, very vital weapon that we use in spiritual warfare. Why is it very, very vital? Because if we don't use prayer, prayer is used for two reasons. Number one, prayer is used for the communication with God in spiritual warfare, to allow God to let us know what he wants from us, to allow God to tell us the plan of which we need to take to get through the spiritual warfare, to win in the spiritual warfare, to keep in constant communication with God, and to also intercede for other people. Amen. And that is found in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 18. The third thing is worship. Come on, worship. And that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verses 22 and 23. Amen. We need worship. Amen. He's moved by worship. Amen. And I'm trying to run through these real quick. The fourth one is the name of Jesus. And that is found in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 9 through 11, and in James chapter 2, verse 19. The fifth one is fasting. Fasting is a very, very important part of our spiritual walk, and it is a very, very important part of our labor in spiritual warfare. You can find that in Matthew chapter number 17, verse 21, and in Isaiah 50, chapter 58, verse number 6. Like I said, I can't read all of these because we're almost out of time. The sixth weapon that we can use in spiritual warfare is our testimony. Amen. We can be delivered and people can be delivered. How do I know? In Revelation chapter number 12, verse 11, it lets us know that we are, that our testimony is a very, very powerful tool, a very, very powerful weapon. Amen. The seventh one is our praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Our praise and thanksgiving. It moves God to move for us in spiritual warfare. Amen. And we can find that in Psalms chapter 22, verse number 3, and in Philippians chapter number 4, verses 6 and 7. Number 8, our faith. We've already talked about faith. Amen. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there's another scripture that says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. We need faith. That is the eighth weapon that we need to use. And the very last and most powerful weapon of all is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in these last few minutes, I'm going to give you these four scriptures, and one of them I'm going to use very, very last. Amen. And as we already stated earlier in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to give right. Power to live a godly life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, and this is talking about the Holy Ghost, greater is he that is in you than he that is in what? The world. Amen. Amen. And the last scripture, I have four scriptures, but the third scripture would be Jude. Jude. Amen. And if you know something about Jude, Jude is a very, very powerful, powerful passage of scripture. Amen. Jude, verse 24 and 25. And I'm going to read that before I read this last scripture. Jude 24 and 25. This is talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now, both now and forever. Amen. If you have the Holy Ghost, he's able to keep you from falling. Amen. And you might ask, well, how do I receive this Holy Ghost? Acts 2 and 38. That's the last scripture, y'all. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is how we fight. This is how we fight. That is the last one. The ninth weapon is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in John chapter, I believe it's chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where he's talking to Nicodemus, and he's telling Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's talking about John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. God, in verse number 3, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus didn't understand. In these last few minutes that I have, I'm going to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost for you to be able to see the kingdom of God. You need the Holy Ghost. In verse number 3, I just read it. It says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, in verse number 4, it says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old, which means being an adult? Amen. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He thought he was talking about a natural birth. But Jesus was actually talking about a spiritual birth. In verse number 5, it says, And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must follow Acts 2 and 38. That's what in verse number 5 of John chapter 3, that's what he's talking about. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You got to be baptized. You got to go down in his name. You got to go down in water. You got to go down in the liquid grave and be born again. Amen. Coming up in the newness of life, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. The same thing that they did on the day of Pentecost is the same thing that you do today. The word does not change. Amen. In Hebrews, it says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and forevermore. He does not change. His word does not change. I hope you got something out of this lesson on today, this topic on today. I hope that, and my prayer is that we are ready for spiritual warfare. Amen. That we get into God so that we can be equipped to go to spiritual warfare so that we will be ready for the coming of the Lord and so that we can go to spiritual warfare for others. Because we cannot go to spiritual warfare at all unless we're together. And it's not saying that you're perfect, even though when you got the Holy Ghost, you got everything you need, so you consider it as perfect. Amen. Because if God said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man? And Job didn't even have the Holy Ghost. What makes it more for you? When it said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. So I want to say this in these last minute that I got. Be blessed, honor God, and go into spiritual warfare for somebody else. Amen. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next Saturday, God bless you in Jesus' name.